We're going to share today about God's love, and I want us to take a good look at one aspect of His love to help bring understanding of how powerful of a gift it is that He gave us His love. Many people, when you say that God loves you, they interpret it through their understanding. The love of God's kind of, as they say, like a diamond, where you can look at it from different angles and see different aspects of it. And today we want to look at one aspect of God's love that I believe is the most important, and that is it's not earned, it's received. You don't earn God's love. It's given to you, and it was given to you. And this is what allowed you to be saved. It's the love of God that is so powerful and so misunderstood in our culture, in the world. The culture says, well, God loves everyone, so you can't judge me. And really what they're trying to say is God accepts me the way I am, and He likes me the way I am. And that's not true. God loves everyone. He loves the worst of the worst. He loves them and went to the ends of the earth to find a way for them to be saved. But He does not accept us where we're at. He wants to help us change and be transformed into the child of God that He wants us to walk as. And so when we talk about His love today, I want to look at some verses. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, that the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And here, these verses here are talking about once you receive His love as salvation, that the expectation is for you to give love and to walk in love and walk in holiness. Again, not for God to just love you so you stay the same. Let's go to chapter 4 and let's read verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we're going to stop there because it tells us that love is God. God is love. He doesn't just love you. He is love. That means that's all you're going to get from God. No matter what you do, no matter how many times you try, I've heard people come and say, you know, I was really angry at God one time and I cursed God. I'm afraid He won't receive me back. And, you know, He's love. He's not offended. He's not touchy. His goal, His heart for every person in the world is to be born again through salvation in Christ. And make no mistake about it, He loves everyone. Even the ones who don't deserve His love, in our mindset, certain people who are murderers and different things, we can think, well, you know, they deserve to go to hell. But God's love is trying to rescue everyone from hell, even the worst of the worst. Because it's not earned, so you don't earn His love. It's received the moment you are born again. It's that love that has been there for all time and been there your whole life, but it's what drew you into God and allowed you to be born again. Verse 7 of chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. What's being painted in 1 John is that as Christians, we should be giving love, showing love, not just love that's from the natural man, but a love that comes from God through us, to everyone, the nice person, the friend, the people who hate us, the people who talk bad about us, the people who don't deserve it, because that's the way God loved us. So not only should the love of God, once we embrace it at salvation and the nature of love comes into us, we should walk in love, walk in forgiveness. We should walk towards holiness and in holiness, because that's the nature of love in us, that we should look like God in holiness and in love towards each other. And he says here that God is love. And it says in verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but He loved us. So it's not that we loved God, but he loved us. And because he loved us, that love is what's supposed to pull us further into God. It's what allowed us to be born again. It's what allowed Jesus to come and die on the cross. It's what allowed God to rescue us out of the family of Adam, out of hell, and into his family, the children of God. It's what's allowed him to call us his children. This love is like a rope that's tied onto you, that is constantly trying to pull you further into God. And that's why it's kind of funny when people say, "Don't judge me, God loves me." Well, I get that, but what they might be trying to say is, don't expect me to change, transform, grow in holiness, or try to be holy. Don't expect me to change in anger or in issues. Just God accepts me the way I am. Don't judge me. But see, God's love, if you understand it, the moment you embrace it or hold on to it or allow it to be tied around your waist, it's constantly pulling you towards God, pulling you towards holiness, pulling you towards forgiveness, towards love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the aspect of God's love that I want you to see that you have in you right now, and it's tied around your waist if you're born again, and it's tied around your waist and it's pulling you constantly. It's never loose. It's always got pressure and a constant pulling to pull you closer to God and to pull you closer to holiness. You can't avoid it. It's always there. It's pulling you towards a deeper relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. Many people today, their experience with God is more on a carnal sense. They love God, they experience his presence, but there's an intimate relationship that is beyond feeling his presence. It's a knowledge of his love and a knowledge of his sacrifice and that his willingness to go to hell and back for you and to walk with you through all your battles and all your struggles, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. He is the Father that you've looked for your whole life. He is the greatest Father that you could ever have, and he's your Father. When you're born again, he becomes your Father, you become his child. And so this love, I want to grasp hold of today, the aspect that it is constantly pulling you towards victory. It never lets you give up, even on the days you say, "I give up, I quit, I'm frustrated, I can't do this anymore." Why are you still here? Why haven't you given up? Is it because you're strong, or is it because you have that love? It can be because you're strong, but it's mostly because you have that love tied around your waist and is pulling you towards him. It doesn't allow you to give up. On the days you wanted to give up, you still didn't. Look at you, you're still here. You didn't give up. You didn't quit. And his love is constantly pulling you towards him, pulling us towards intimacy with him. It's never satisfied with, "Is this enough, God? Is this enough? Have I given enough of my life?" It's always asking for more. It says in the scripture that God is a jealous God. He wants all of us. He wants our life to be embracing in him. He wants to be the answer to every problem. He wants us to look to him when we have needs. He wants to cry out to him when we're hurting. His love is never ending, and it's always there for us. And it's always pulling us towards holiness, towards intimacy, towards loving each other. It never stops. And I want to see this aspect of love today. It's pulling you towards more of God. What a great thing. It's not a hardship. It's a great thing that God believes in us, that he believes we can be holy. He believes we can be pure. He believes we can be overcomers. He believes we can be fearless. We can be forgivers. He believes we can overcome the hurts of the past. He believes in us. And that's why he's constantly pulling us towards him. You don't need to believe in yourself even. Just hold on to that love and let it constantly pull you towards him. Love sometimes is unspoken, it's undefined, but it's connection, it's deep down. "I know you love me." My mom used to say, "How much do you love me?" She'd tease me, like, "Can you measure how much you love me? Son, how much do you love me?" And I always think about it and I think, I don't know. I can't, 6 feet. 10 feet, a million feet, a billion feet, a million miles to the moon and back. How much do you love? There's no measuring God's love for you. You can't measure it. It's unending. It's there forever, the rest of existence, the rest of eternity. God's love is always there. It's not just for you as a believer. It's for the whole world. It's for the worst sinner. The same love. God does not love you more now that you're pursuing Him than you did when you were a dirty, rotten sinner. You don't earn His love. You don't get more of His love. That love has always been there for you. But you have embraced it and received it and held on to it. And because of that, is pulling you into holiness. So let's not be confused and think, well, I deserve more love. He won't love you more tomorrow when you're perfect than He did yesterday than you when you were a mess. You don't earn more of it. It's unmeasurable. It's always been there. It's always been available. And it's always been unlimited. And it's always been pulling us to salvation, pulling the world. That's why when people think, well, what about people who don't know Christ? Well, the love of God is in every crevice, every corner of the whole world. And it's been pulling mankind to search for God, to search for that love. The moment someone hungers for it, God will answer that. So we don't earn His love. This love is not earnable. It's because God loves us. That's who He is. You can't get hate from God. You can't get rejection from God. You can reject Him, but He won't reject you. He's always, always here for us. He'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 8. Well, we'll start in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I want to answer and solve any riddle you may ever have about God's love fluctuating in your life, that you need more of His love. That I need more of your love. You may mean I need to know more of your love. But that love, you don't gain it. It's there forever. It's been there forever and will be here forever. And so before you were saved. Now let's talk about this. Some people get saved from really bad, difficult things. And I want you to understand that even at the worst kind of man, we'll say like a Hitler, to his last breath, God was loving him as much as He loved a saint, such as a Mother Teresa. He didn't love Hitler less because he was an evil man than He did a Mother Teresa, who was a gentle spirit and a giving woman. He loved both of them. And when you stand to go to heaven, Mother Teresa won't be able to say, look at all my good works, so let me go to heaven. As Hitler won't stand there and say, look at all my bad works, I'm going to go to hell. It's the new nature that God has been desperate to get into people, through His love, drawn them to salvation. So everyone who stands to enter into heaven, it's going to be only because if you have the new nature in you. If you don't have the new nature, you're not a child of God. And heaven is an exclusive club. It's only for those who are family. And that's the only ticket to get you into heaven, is you must be born again through Jesus Christ. It's not a judgment of how much good works we have or how evil we were. And so you don't earn this love. You can't buy this love. You can walk in more of the love. You can embrace it and let it work in you and draw you closer to Him. That's what gives you the power to overcome. That's what gives you the power to be free, is that you are connected to God by your new nature and you are tied to this love. And it wasn't earned. It was before you were even saved. While you were a dirty, rotten sinner, God loved you just as much as He loves you now as a holy child of God. Now, I want us to go over to another verse in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I'm just going to paint a picture today of this aspect of love. There's lots of different aspects of love, and it's all healthy as long as it doesn't just leave you in the state you are. Because that's not really a picture of God's love, to see you starving and dying and suffering and Him just stand there and say, oh, you're good. I like you just the way you are. You're good. He loves us the way we are. That's true. Even in hell, His love will be in hell. He loves the people who spend eternity in hell. I don't know how He does that, to have the people He loved not make it to heaven. but he'll be there loving them. That's what the scripture says. To the depths of hell, I can't run from you. He's everywhere. His love is for everyone. Psalm 139. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. So let's make this personal. God searches you and he knows you. He knows you, everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows everything about you, what you're going through right now. And God's ability to know and love you and to be in the middle of your stuff and not be afraid of you because you're struggling. He's right there with you. He knows everything about you. Do you know that he thinks about you every moment of every day? You have a father that thinks about you every moment of every day. Now, the world, they have systems to help you succeed, and you better do it right. You better start taking care of business when you're young so that when you're old, you're not suffering. And you better do it right because the world, they don't have God as their father. They have to take care of themselves. If they don't take care of themselves, no one's thinking about them. But you have a father that now you're born of him. Now, he thinks about you every day. He thinks about your future. He thinks about your struggles. He thinks about your needs. Every time you have a need, he's already thought about it, and he's got an answer for you on how he thinks would be the best way for you to have that need met. And so you have a father who thinks about you every moment of every day. He knows you. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your mistakes. He's in the midst of you. He's with you. I tell people all the time when I preach, I used to say, well, let's look up to heaven. Let's worship God. And I realized that, you know, now that we're born again, he's with me. His presence is with me. He's everywhere at the same time. I know that, but he's with me. He's for me. He's right here with me. And so I don't need to look up to heaven to pray. I can just simply whisper, and his ear is right here. He's always with me. He's always with you, and he loves you, and he's constantly pulling you forward to victory, pulling you forward to holiness, pulling you forward to forgiveness, pulling you forward to loving others and into intimacy with him. He's pleased with whatever we give him in our heart. Like singing a song to him is nice, but spending time saying, I love you. I remember when I first started doing that, I said, God, I love you. And I had a hard time saying, I love you. I mean, just to say the words, I love you, I found it difficult. And I thought, why am I having a hard time saying I love you? And it was because I had gone from just singing songs in church and singing worship songs and that to an intimacy, an openness, and it made me feel vulnerable. And part of my vulnerability was, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm going to worship God and he's going to reject me. And it wasn't a thought, it was a feeling, an emotion that my natural man used to keep me away from intimacy with God. And so I went to worship him and express love out of a vulnerability, out of an openness, an intimate type of worship, a private worship. It was hard. It was hard for me to say, I love you. It took me a while before I can actually say that freely because it carried so much more weight than just singing the songs off the screen at church. It carries so much more weight to be alone with him and to have no music and just say, I love you, I worship you, and to know that he's right here as I'm talking to him. He's not way up in heaven and me looking up and like a little ant on a big earth and calling out trying to get his attention, but he's right here. He's right here. He's with me. He's with you right now. And if you just whisper, I love you, he's right with you and he's receiving that and he's loving you back. It's his greatest pleasure, I think, for us just to worship him in intimacy, to express our heart in love. I think that's probably his greatest achievement, is to be able to have a child that is rescued out of the family of Adam into his family and to build an intimate relationship. So many believers will start in heaven being intimate with God. But he doesn't want to wait for us to start in heaven. He wants us to start now. And it's that love that is our strength. It's that love that once we embrace it, it's what's pulling us forward to God all the time. Verse 1, Psalm 139. I love the Psalms. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. So let's make it personal. God, you know me. You've looked for me and you found me. You know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. So the things you're going to think next year, on today, next year, exactly 1 year from now, God already knows what you're thinking. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. He knows you. We know the scripture. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you better than anyone will ever know you, even yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's not running from you. He's right with you. And as you've accepted Christ and accepted this love, it's like a rope I want that's tied around your waist, that's constantly pulling you. You know, they have the old saying of a fish going downstream and then, you know, go against the current. You know, be different. There's one fish that's swimming upstream, and that's you. You're standing in a river of the world and life that's going, trying to push you downstream. But then you found God, and it's like he tied that safety rope around your waist. And it's what's keeping you from going downstream, and it's pulling you upstream. And you feel the resistance sometimes. You feel the pressures of life. I know there's times when I look at my life and think, man, I give my life to God. And it's been like that since I've been 18, is I've given my heart and my life and my time to God. And I have neighbors that they're good Christians, but all they do is go to church on Sunday. That's about it. They don't comprehend God or allow God in their life more than just going to church on Sunday. So they plan their years and their weeks and their retirement and everything out, and they live their life and give God Sundays. But my life became intimate with him, and it kept pulling me up the stream. I had to let go of things. I had to change my attitude. I had to believe for things. I had to walk with him in places I didn't want to walk. I didn't think I could walk, but he's constantly pulling me when I think, oh, that's good, God. I'm holy enough now. Thank you very much. You know, he asked for more. He's always pulling me forward. The first part of this, accepting this rope, accepting this aspect of God's love, it's pulling you forward. It's not earned. Is to know that it's the power, it's the drive, it's what stirs the hunger in you for more of him. The more you have a God, the more you want. The less you have a God, the less you want. And you watch believers through your life, and you'll find out the ones who are not satisfied, the ones who are hungering for more or pressing for more of God, they're always pressing for more and more because they're allowing that rope to pull them further into God. And once you get a good taste of God's love for you, you never let it go. And I want you to see that it's not earned. It's not earned. It's not, you don't get more measure of it the holier you are. It is actually, the holiness is an expression of how much love of God you've allowed into your life. So there's this rope that's pulling you closer to God. It's available for the whole world, but the moment you get born again, it's kind of when it gets tied around your waist, and now he starts to ask for things. We don't want people to get born again and never change, and never, you know, thank you for saying the prayer, you're done. We want people to get born again and to say, I'm born again, and I want God to shine in me. Let's go back to 1 John again. He's a jealous God, but he believes in you. He has so much for you, and it's only his love that's going to pull you forward. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, for we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So basically, I'm born again, but until I'm with Christ and I see Christ, when the trumpet sounds, or when I pass away, the Lord willing, when the trumpet sounds, I will see Christ and I will be like him. And because I'm going to be like him, I should start now working and pressing into being like him now, not wait until then to say, hey, I look like you. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So the moment you're saved, you're on a mission. That rope is pulling you towards purifying your life into holiness, into loving your neighbor, and to forgiveness, and to a pursuit of Christ in you overtaking your life. his characteristics, his love, his joy, his peace, his hope, all those things that Christ is, God wants us to overtake us. This love is to be who we are. Just as God is love, we should be love as well. Not just loving when we choose to, but loving when it's undeserved as well. Loving the neighbor that doesn't deserve it is the proof. Not the neighbor that does, but the neighbor who doesn't. That's the proof of the love of God in you. Now, knowing that this rope is what's pulling you forward, I'm going to look at a verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and in, oh, let's just start in verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So this is where many people stop and say, who's going to separate me from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate me from God's love? God's love will never separate me. But see, this is different because he's not talking about God's love here. He's actually talking about you. I always thought that that verse meant God's love will never leave me and forsake me, but that's not what it means. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? So he names these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, that these are things that are trying to separate us from the love of God. Now, think about this. If this verse is talking about God's love leaving us, then it would mean that God is the one who's suffering the persecution, the tribulation, the famine, the sword. But it's not talking about God's, because God does not have famine. He's not worried about tribulation. He's not afraid of anyone. And it's talking about you, that there is an attempt, the moment you're saved, by the world, by the enemy, by the devil, to separate you from the love of God. And that's the verse here. That's what it's talking about, is expect these things to come against you for the purpose of you untying that rope and separating yourself from the love of God. And Paul is saying, I've been through some things and I found that nothing can separate me from that love. That love is so powerful that as long as I hold on to it, it'll pull me through everything I go through. And you might be going through some things in life. You may be going through some hard times, some difficult times. You may be going through some frustrating things, have unanswered prayers. You may and probably are going through something. And if you're not going through something now, down the road, you might. When you know that this love is what's keeping me, protecting me, and pulling me through, that's the victory, that no matter what comes against me, the enemy, people, you know, one guy said, yeah, I used to work in the bar and when I was in the world, and I went to church and thought, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to finally be around good, wholesome, loving, kind people. And he said, man, I found that the church is full of more mean people than the bar is and than the world has. And I mean, just because people are in church doesn't mean they're Christ-like. And so we have churches sometimes with people that are mean and nasty and gossipy and talk bad about you. And, you know, that can really hurt and defeat you as a believer. Well, when all these things, whether it's from the world, from people, from the devil fights nasty. He gets right into your family, into the personal things in life. Whatever you are going through, understand the reason you're going through it is because the enemy is trying to use that as a weapon to discourage you to the point that you give up on God. You say, God, I'm tired of you pulling me upstring. I'm going to cut this rope and I'm going to make decisions myself because obviously I can take better care of myself than you can. And he's not the one who sent the tribulation or the famine or the sword or those things. That's the enemy that's coming against you to get you to do that very thing, to give up on trusting God. So we have to accept this love as unconditional. We have to accept this love as unearned, that we don't earn more of it. We have to accept this is a part of my life. This is a power within my life that is pulling me towards God. It's like a rope, a life rope that's tied around my waist and is pulling me upstream during the flood. And its goal is to get me to him, to walk in more of him, and to always be safe. Like, I am safe no matter what I'm going through. Sometimes as faith, men and women, when we go through hard times, we start to second guess everything and look at all of our mistakes and blame God, blame ourselves. And truthfully, who cares who's to blame? I can tell you who the answer is. The answer is always God. He's never our problem. He's always our answer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. See, He's telling us the answer, the victory. In all the onslaught the enemy's going to throw at you, that life's going to throw at you, the world's going to throw at you, your past is thrown at you, your own mistakes are thrown at you. You're not a conqueror. You are more than conqueror. That's like the guy that worked hard all week and came home every night. His fingers were full of grease and he was had to shower. He was dirty and his wife gave him a kiss and he came home to dinner. You know, the classic husband-wife. And he came home on payday and he pulled out his check. And he said, honey, look, I've conquered. I'm a conqueror. And he'll hold out his paycheck and his wife came up to him and felt his arm and said, oh, you're so strong. You're such a beefcake. I'm so proud of you. You are a conqueror, she said. And the little wife took the check and whoosh, took it out of his hand. She said, but I am more than a conqueror. And then she walked off with his paycheck. Well, see, the conqueror in your life over all your battles is to be Jesus. He already defeated sickness and disease. He's defeated the devil. He's defeated unforgiveness. He's defeated everything that you're facing has already been defeated. Jesus has already conquered it. He defeated it. And the price was His blood. He paid for your victory. It's already done. So Jesus is the conqueror. You and I, we are more than conquerors because of what Jesus did and because we are of the family of God. So that means even our strength to overcome, our strength to win our battles, our strength to not give up, it all comes from this love of God that we've been gifted. And it's there to pull us constantly forward, pull us forward to victory. There's many times when you're facing things that you don't think you have it. There's many times you may want to quit. There's many times you question, like, do I really believe? Is it really going to happen? Well, this love is what doesn't let you give up. That's why you're still here, because you have His love tied around you. And all the things that are coming against you, their goal is to get you to untie that rope. It may, and some people untie it to where they lose their salvation, but many people just untie it and they say, I give up. I'm going to quit believing for something. God, you told me to go do something. I went to go do it, and it was all hell came against me. Everything that I went through, everything that was hard. It wasn't easy. I thought it would be easy when I followed you and obeyed you. And here it's telling you that that there's something going to come against you the moment you're born again. And it's going to be tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness. That means that there's times where you wonder where your provision's coming from. Peril or the sword, that's people coming against you and circumstances coming against you. And this is all coming as tribulation to get you to stop holding on to that love and let go. Stop trusting God. Verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Tribulation is not coming against God to let you go. It's coming against you to let Him go. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So all this stuff in this life that comes against us, the discouragement, the battles, the hurt from people who you thought were your friend and turned out not being your friend, the people who said they believed in you but they gave up on you, those are all things to try to discourage you, to say God doesn't care for you. God's left you. He's abandoned you. You're not good enough. You haven't earned enough of His love. He waited too long for you. You took too long to get your act together. Quit trusting God for your miracle. Quit trusting God for your healing. Quit trusting God for anything because you're just not good enough. Give up. You might as well fix it yourself. And I watch many believers. Many times I watch people believing for a loved one, believing for a miracle in their life, believing for an answered prayer. And it just seemed like it was taking too long. Or the way that God gave them the answer, they didn't like it. So they fixed it, and they did it in one area, not in every area. But they gave up on trusting God for it because it was costing too much. It was too hard to believe God. The answer that God gives you for whatever you're going through will last forever. The victory has already been paid for. The world has come up with answers, but they're worldly, they're fleshly, and they're not complete. And they had to come up with answers because they don't have a father who loves them. They're on their own. But you're not on your own. He's the father you've always wanted. And he's in your life. And he's desiring to spend time and give you love and encouragement and strength. That's what fathers do to their children. Is they pour their love in them, their strength and their encouragement for their kids to grow up and to mature and to overcome things. So all these things, we're going to read here one more time in chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who has the power to separate you, to make you quit? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Who shall separate us? Who has the power to come in and say, I'm strong enough to get you to let go of God? And I have the power to make you let go of God. And it can seem like that in our life when hard times hit, that can feel like, I can't make it. I don't see how this is going to work out. I give up. And it's okay to say you give up. Just don't give up. It's okay to feel like giving up. Just don't give up. Because that love has enough in it to pull you forward if you don't untie it. That's the love of God. It's pulling you forward. And many times in my life, I've seen this big mountain or this big giant, and I look at it and I think, oh, that's scary. I can't do that. And God's direction kept pulling me towards it. Oh, I can't do that, God. I can't do that. It's going to kill me. I can't make it. And he kept pulling me forward into fighting things and overcoming and facing things that I was afraid to face. And that's happened many, many, many times. And I'm sure you've had it too, where you think God's going to take you around the problem that you've been avoiding your whole life, and he takes you right smack in the middle of it to face it, because he knows you've already overcome it. He knows you've already won, and he needs you to know the power of this love that's in you, the power of the new nature that's in you, that you don't have to give up, you don't have to quit. Now, we may fail and fall and cry and moan. I said, my children, when I tell them to go clean the room, I don't mind if they don't like it, but they go do it. And they can not like it that I've asked them to do it, but they're still going to do it. So we don't have to like it. We don't have to say, oh, this is great, I love it. We just have to be brave and follow God and trust that this love is pulling us into a more intimate and powerful and beautiful relationship with God that we can have now, right now. We don't have to wait for heaven to experience this beautiful time with him. It's always asking for more of us. It's always asking for us to give God a chance. Don't quit. Don't give up. And so I'm here to tell you today, don't let go of that rope. Hold on to it. And let that love of God continually pull you forward. As I prayed in tongues over the years, it's painted a picture, a path of God's will for my life. And it's not allowed me to run away and to come up with a different plan that I think God would be happy with, trying to stay in control. There's something about this love that makes you accept that you're not in control of your life, that he is. He's in charge of your life. And if you let him, you will have a blessed life and a blessed eternity. Don't give up. Don't quit on God. Don't untie that rope and fix it yourself. Follow God. Be brave and follow God. Don't give up. Don't let go. His love is not earned. It's always received. He knows everything about you. He knows your good points, your bad points, your hidden points. He's not given up on you. You are tied to God by this love. When you accepted Christ, that's that new nature. It ties you to God. Don't untie it. Let it pull you towards holiness. Let it pull you towards loving your neighbor. Let it pull you towards walking out His will in this life. Let it pull you towards overcoming things by faith instead of by the natural man. Let Him continue to pull you, this love of God, let it pull you upstream so you're not like all the other ones going downstream. You're going against the current of life and against the current of circumstances, and you're holding on. It's the only thing you have. You know, sometimes that's the thing you feel. It's like, God, if this rope breaks, I'm dead. I'm going to go flying. This is all I have, God. That all I have to believe that I'm going to make it is that You love me, because I don't have enough to offer You to show You that I'm worthy. All I have is the Word that says that You love me and You'll never abandon me. You'll never let go of me. So I refuse to let go of You. Let's make that our prayer today. Let's make that our prayer together, that we're going to be bold and follow God, and that we're going to hold on to His love for His answers. And no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what the devil throws at us, what people throw at us, what circumstances come against us, we are more than conquerors. Jesus has already defeated and conquered everything I'll face. Everything we face in our life, every battle, every sickness, disease, every hurt, every brokenness, everything, every anger, everything in our life has already been conquered by Jesus. And so our job is to simply be more than conquerors. We receive what Jesus did, and we won't accept anything less. Father, we know we're not perfect yet. We know that we have battles and struggles, sometimes questions, and You're not afraid of questions or battles or struggles. Father, today we acknowledge that Your love is everything we have. It's all that we have. That Your love is the highest high we can ever get. There's no higher than receiving Your love, and we have that right now. And so we're grateful that You loved us. You loved us in our strengths, and You loved us in our weaknesses. And we're grateful that You won't quit on us, that You're our strength, and You won't let us quit on us either. That You are invested into us walking this out in this world, that we can change this world through Your love. So today, we hold on to Your love. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what the enemy's throwing against us, we don't give up on You. You are our answer to every problem. You are our solution to every question. We love You. We embrace You. We open our heart up to You. And we thank You for pouring Your love and strength. And for every circumstance that we're facing, we receive Your answer. And we thank You that it's done by the blood of Jesus. It's finished. The work is already done. And we receive it by faith. That we are victorious in this life in every battle. The enemy cannot stop us. This world cannot stop us. We are tied by Your love, and nothing will separate me from Your love. And I know that from You, nothing will separate Your love from me. We don't give up, and we thank You for Your strength and Your courage and Your love, that You believed in us when we didn't believe in ourselves. Thank You, Father, for being such a wonderful Father. You're such a great Father. You're faithful. You're full of love and grace and mercy. You're for us, not against us. We receive Your love today, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you're blessed today. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.